Yes, I am back, ladies and gentlemen. Back for a new season of the 824 Purple and Gold podcast. Yes, I know I have been gone for a while now. Ever since the NBA had their hiatus, you know, from back in March. The last episode I had recorded was, you know, the Lakers versus, you know, the Bucks, and, you know, beating the Bucks and also beating the Clippers on the same weekend. That was the last episode I had recorded, and I believe the game the Lakers had after that was against the Nets, which the Lakers had lost, and then after that was the NBA hiatus. So, of course, during this hiatus, I didn't really have any content to record. You know, I didn't really have anything to speak about, you know, due to COVID-19, and things of that sorts. You know, we're pretty much all on lockdown. I had lost my job at the time. I was laid off. I was collecting unemployment. I was in the process of moving to a brand new apartment. So yeah, it was a very hectic time. You know, pretty sure for all of us who were, you know, experiencing, you know, we're all in the same boat, whether you're rich, poor, you know, it didn't matter who or what your status was, you were experiencing the same thing as, you know, everyone else. Everyone was on lockdown. So unfortunately, I was unable to continue the podcast, the 824 Purple and Gold podcast. But thankfully, the NBA season, you know, started back up in late July into August, and then, you know, into early October. As a huge Laker fan, of course, right? the Purple and Gold podcast. Of course, you know, this is a Lakers podcast, primarily. And I try my best to be as objective as possible. But of course, I'm a biased Laker fan at the end of the day. So, when it comes to, like, seeing the Clippers losing a 3-1 lead to the Denver Nuggets, that was, like, one of the best nights of my life. Seeing Paul George, he's hitting the side of the backboard. It was fantastic being a Laker fan this year, even though, you know, some may discount the ring. At the end of the day, everyone, all the teams that were invited to the bubble had the same exact circumstances. And to even some players, they had expressed that it was even much more difficult in terms of being mentally challenging, you know, being in the bubble, being confined in, you know, a space for a long time. Me, myself, you know, being a prior military service, you know, I know what it is like to be confined in a space for a period of time. And it is not easy when it comes to the mental side of things. So as a Laker fan, seeing how they persevered through such, you know, even though they're living in a resort, Disney resort, and whatnot, they still put their best play forward. They were still the champions that we know them to be. And even though they had struggled a bit in the seeding games, we knew that when it was go time, when the playoffs had begun, we know LeBron James, the best player in the world, and Anthony Davis, a top 5 or even now top 3 player in the world, in my opinion, we knew they were going to show up. And all we needed was our role players like KCP, Rondo, who was arguably our third best player in the playoffs. We just needed them to show up, make shots, and play defense. And that's literally all we needed them to do in order for us to win a championship, right? You look at our first series against Portland. Portland took game 1, but then we reeled off 4 straight with our defense and shooting. You look at the next series against Houston. They took game 1, and then we took the next 4 games playing defense and with our shooting, with our quote-unquote small ball lineup, which was exceptionally bigger than the Rockets' biggest lineup, which was the most interesting thing in that series. But we proved to the world and to the NBA world that you still need bigs in order to win in even today's game. Of course, you're right, you need the shooting, right? The Lakers, they had broke a finals record in 3-pointers made, which was surprising, right? I would have thought one of the Golden State teams in the past several years would have been on that list, actually would have, you know, still had the record. But yeah, the Lakers actually beat that record. I can't remember exactly how many. I think it was like 87 or something like that. But you need shooting, defense, and you still need big men in order to win in this league. So when you look at the series after Houston, which was against Denver, we took game one, we took game two, then Denver took us game three. But game two, right, most importantly, Anthony Davis hits that game winner. And he shouts out, Kobe, right? After every time we shoot a crumpled up paper in the trash can, what do most of us yell? Kobe, right? rest in peace, rest in paradise. And, you know, this podcast is dedicated to the late and great Kobe Bryant. But you look at that series against Denver, and we needed our bigs, especially Dwight Howard, who made Jokic really, really uncomfortable in that series. So you look at what the Lakers did against Denver. It was great. And then you move on to the finals, and it was against Miami, of course. Everyone knew the Lakers were going to win, but it was just how much fight were the Miami Heat going to put up? How hard were they going to fight? And boy, did they fight really hard, especially Jimmy Butler, right? The Heat, I'm calling him a superstar now. He has moved up to that stratosphere. He has moved up to that status for me. He is now a superstar in today's NBA. No longer is he a perennial, just all-star. But to me, he is now a superstar the way he and LeBron James went back and forth, in what some may consider, you know, some of the best final performances when it comes to head-to-head. Back and forth performances, I would rank Jimmy Butler and LeBron James in last season's finals up there. He ranks up there amongst the great head-to-head final performances. But of course, you look at the Lakers, we beat the Miami Heat. The first two games that we took, we dissected and destroyed their zone defense. In the latter two games that we had won, that had won us the finals, it was a lot of our veterans, a lot of our role players that were stepping up. You look at KCP and Rondo playing amazing defense on Butler and Anthony Davis, especially in the first two games. It looked like he was going to be Finals MVP. But of course, we have LeBron James, the best player in the world, who stepped up to the plate. And he took home the Finals MVP, and rightfully so, because without him, you know, the engine that runs this team, of course, I don't think we win. We maybe win the finals, but without LeBron, none of this is possible, to be honest. So very grateful as a Laker fan to have LeBron James on our team. We didn't really get to see him go nuclear, like avatar mode, except for maybe a few games, like against Houston. He had like 30 points in the first half and like game two. It was just insane. Like, LeBron James is a machine. He and Anthony Davis, the best duo in the NBA, right up there to me with, you know, Kobe and Shaq back in the three-peat days in early 2000s. So when you look at LeBron and AD, even though LeBron is getting up there in age, Anthony Davis is just entering his prime, ladies and gentlemen. This guy is just turning, he just turned 27. He is just entering his prime, and he has LeBron James mentoring him how to be a great player for a franchise like the Los Angeles Lakers. So when you look at our future is bright. And that's why, actually, I want to segue into the moves that the Lakers are actually making for the upcoming 2020-21 NBA season. Now, when you look at some of the, I don't know how Rob Pelinka went 7th in Executive of the Year. He was voted 7th in the Executive of the Year voting. That is just asinine. That is crazy. You look at what this man is doing in this offseason. Not only last offseason when we were spurned by Kawhi Leonard. He just left. He left us waiting, and he didn't choose us. He left us high and dry, right? And so you look at the moves that Rob Pelinka made last season. There were respectable moves, you know, getting Danny Green, Quinn Cook, re-signing Rajon Rondo, getting Dwight Howard when no one believed in him, trading for Anthony Davis. you know, these moves, they are looked upon around the league as, yeah, like, whatever, like, people want to play for the Lakers, and, you know, Rob Pelinka doesn't have to do that much work. Like, there is a lot of Laker hate out there, especially in the circles of the NBA. Not a lot of people like, or, actually, it's like this. They want to see this, they don't want to see the most successful franchise in sports history to keep succeeding. And it's put in simple terms, they don't want to see the rich get richer. So when you look at this offseason and the moves that Rob Pelinka has pulled off, it's just been amazing. Like, I did not think that he was going to retool this roster like he has done in the past couple of days of, you know, trade season and free agency, this period of transitioning players. Rob Pelinka, all credit to you. I can see why you were Kobe's right-hand man. You were his agent. I can see why he trusted you. 100%. I have no doubt in Rob Pelinka. I will never speak any negativity on his name ever again. He has proved to me that he is the GM that is best for the Lakers. You look at the moves that he has pulled off. He's traded Danny Green, right? You see Danny Green, he's getting up there in age. His defense, he's very smart, very high IQ player. But when you look at Danny Green, he was just way too inconsistent for us in the playoffs. He was shooting sub 40, below 40%, even in the low 30 percentile in 3-point shooting. That is not what the Lakers are paying him $15 million a year for. So we moved on from Danny Green. But what did we add to replace that? We got Wesley Matthews. Wesley Matthews, 32, 33 years old, a tad bit younger or around the same age as Danny Green. But he is a dog. He is a tough defender. I remember watching him defending LeBron when the Bucks played the Lakers twice last season. He's just a dog on defense, and he's a great shooter. He shoots a career like 38-39% from the 3-point line. He's a great, amazing addition. I see him as our starting two guard to start the season. Not only did we trade Danny Green and add Wesley Matthews, but of course, we weren't going to wait like last season on a free agent to make his decision. So we had to make some moves. So who are we waiting on? We're waiting on Rajon Rondo to make his decision. Rondo, who had an amazing performance in last year's playoffs, deservingly at, you know, he deserves a bigger contract than what we had paid him, you know, the vet minimum. So when you look at Rondo, he was exploring his options, but Rob, he didn't want to wait. He didn't want to make that same mistake as last offseason. So what does he do? He trades Danny Green and in return gets Dennis Schroeder. The runner-up for sixth man of the year, Dennis Schroeder, who averages 16, 17, 18 points off the bench. Really great combo guard, can handle the ball, great in the pick and roll. He can spot up, shoot. He can do everything on offense. He's a dog on defense. Not the greatest defender, but he's great in the passing lanes. He's what you want coming off the bench as a spark. But not only did we add the runner-up for sixth man of the year in Dennis Schroeder, we added the sixth man of the year in Montrezl Harrell. So let me just recap what happened last Friday night. So Dwight Howard puts out a tweet that was up for like 2 minutes that he was returning to the purple and gold, and all of a sudden he deletes the tweet. And us Laker fans are like, what's going on? What's going on? Like, this is weird. Did the Lakers pull their offer? Did Dwight just back out at the last minute? Who knows what happened? So then about 45 minutes later, Dwight Howard signs with the 76ers, and we're like, okay, well, no hard feelings on Dwight. He came back to the purple and gold. He helped win us a ring, especially in that Denver series. So forever respect to Dwight Howard. I will never speak ill on his name. No slander is allowed on Dwight Howard. But about an hour or two later, it was announced that Montrezl Harrell is signing with the Lakers for 2 years, $19 million total. And so this, like, set ablaze the NBA world, the NBA Twitter world. It was insane because you see Patrick Beverly like tweeting, like he's cursing out, like it was just insane. And when you look at this move, Montrez, of course, coming from the Clippers, right, are what people may consider our rival, right, our crosstown rivals. I don't consider them a real rival. Not yet. I mean, we have never played them in the playoffs. But, of course, the media is going to build it up. So we get Montrez, who's not the greatest defender, but I'm really excited to see what Frank Vogel can do with Montrez. You know, he's 6'7", 6'8", but he is an amazing pick-and-roll player. He rolls to the rim aggressively. He does a dirty work. He a great rebounder. But next to Anthony Davis, he's going to, you know, a lot of his defensive mistakes are going to be short up, especially now that we have, you know, Marcus on, which I will get into later. We signed a sixth man of the year for, we used up our mid-level exception for him, and I have no problem with that. I know the Clipper fans are saying that, oh, he's a reason why they lost to Denver. He couldn't handle Jokic. But I mean, you look at the two superstars in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, they couldn't hold up their end of the bargain and take it home, you know, when they were up 3-1, especially in game 7 when they disappeared. So you can't put it all on Montrez. You got to put some of that heat on the coach, right? Doc Rivers, that's why he's not there anymore. And of course, the two superstars in Kawhi and Paul George. So Trez, around AD and LeBron and the great supporting cast that Rob Pelinka is putting together, I believe that we're going to get that amazing production off the bench from Trez. And we're going to see some better defense than what we saw last season. I think Frank Vogel as a defensive genius and Anthony Davis as a defensive anchor, you will see Montrez Harrell be utilized much much more effectively, I would say, playing defense. So we got Trez, reigning sixth man of the year, right? We Wes Matthews, Dennis Schroeder. We re-signed KCP. And then after that, news came that we were signing Marc Gasol for the vet minimum. And so we get Marc Gasol, right? Paul Gasol's brother. And it's interesting how all this comes full circle, because the Lakers had drafted Mark back in 2007, 2008. And so we had drafted Mark, and we ended up trading him for his brother, Pau, in which that helped us win back-to-back championships in 2009 and 2010, when Kobe and Pau were the dominant duo, and they were winning back-to-back championships. And so now Marc Gasol, after his long stint with the Grizzlies, and then his short stint with Toronto, he now comes back to the Lakers, the team that had originally drafted him. And now he can, a decade later, help the Lakers win a back-to-back championship. A second championship in a row. He can help us get to number 18, which will put us above the Boston Celtics. Keep in mind, the Boston Celtics rings were won during the Jim Crow era. The Jim Crow era, okay? The Boston Celtics have won one ring, one championship in the last 30 years. The Lakers have like 10 of them. So there's no debating on which is the most successful franchise in the modern day era. Now that we're tied with the Boston Celtics, I think it's, you know, bar none, obvious that the Lakers are the most successful franchise in the NBA. Now, when you look at Marc Gasol, even though he is up there in age, you know, 35, 36 years old, he's not the same defender that he once was. He's not agile. He's just a big body that we can throw at centers like Nurkic and Jokic. Marc Gasol is an amazing passer. I can't wait to see the high-low action that he and Anthony Davis will run. He's going to be throwing passes, you know, to cutters. You know, even LeBron James is going to have a chance to be off the ball sometimes. Marc Gasol can operate in the post. He can facilitate from the post. And he's still decent on defense. You know, we traded away JaVale McGee. You know, thank you for your service, JaVale McGee, right? With your vlogs and everything, you were a good player for us. But we needed someone with a higher defensive IQ. We needed someone who is gonna help anchor the defense, and is gonna be a big body, you know, for these bigger centers like Jokic and like Nurkic and so on and so forth. And so that's why I love this Marc Gasol signing. I saw a lot of people say, a lot of Laker haters say, keep Mark away from the Lakers. Don't let him sign with the Lakers. But thankfully we got him. Thankfully we got Marc Gasol, and I couldn't be more happier, you know, for Rob Pelinka pulling that off. And this morning, actually, it was just announced that Markieff Morris is re-signing with us for 1 year for the veterans minimum. And this was on the top of my board and like priorities of who we should bring back. It was KCP and Markieff Morris. So I'm glad we got the top two players back, and you know, now we needed to retain from our championship run. Markieff was instrumental against Portland, against Houston, with his defense and shooting mainly. And what we needed to prioritize was keeping our bigger wing defenders. That's what we're going to need, right? We lost Danny Green, who was one of our primary wing defenders. But Markieff, he is not bad at defending wings at all. I believe he can defend 1-5. I think his feet are quick enough, and he's not a great shooter, but he's a good enough shooter. So we needed to keep Markieff. I mean, we got him on a vet minimum. The Clippers are paying his twin brother like 3 years for $64 million total. So I personally think we got the better brother. You know, I'm biased. I'm a Laker fan. Of course, I'm going to be biased. But yes, I'm ecstatic that we got Markieff. But now, like, when you look at this roster now, it's shaping up. It's coming together, right? You have, you know, Wesley Matthews, who I see can be our starting two. You have KCP, who will start for us as well. So what I see our starting lineup would be is Wesley Matthews, KCP, LeBron James, right, is going to be running the point, Anthony Davis, and Marc Gasol. That's what I see right now as our roster looks at this time. At this moment, that will be our starting five once the season kicks off in about a month, right? It's the 23rd right now. The season's supposed to start up on the 22nd. So in literally less than a month, right, we're barely a month removed from winning a championship, and the Lakers are going to be playing less than a month away. Isn't that crazy? That's insane. But I do see load managing coming, you know, this upcoming season, right? You're right, you have our starting lineup with LeBron. I see him load managing some. I would not blame him at all. I do see Anthony Davis if he gets nicked up a little bit. But to be honest, he's still young, so I could see him playing the full season at full strength. Of course, you know, barring any injuries here or there. So when you look at our starting lineup, it's a very formidable starting lineup, and I think it's much better than last year's starting lineup. But when you look at our bench, that's where... It's insane. We have Dennis Schroeder now coming off the bench, whereas we would have had Rondo. And a huge part of the season, especially the regular season, he was a liability on defense and offense, right? Because he couldn't really shoot very well. So when you look at our bench, right, we have Schroeder. We have who would be our starting two, right? You have Schroeder. You can have THT come off the bench. I mean, we have Kuzma. We have Trez. We have Markieff. So we really have a deep roster. We have deep roster, like 10 guys, 11 guys deep. I'm talking deep. This is the deepest roster in the NBA. Rob Pelinka, you are a genius. You are a genius for pulling this off, my good sir. So you look at the Lakers lineup coming in the season. It's going to be amazing. Hopefully everyone stays healthy. But you can start sizing for your 2021 championship rings starting now. I think, and I am predicting, that the Lakers will become back-to-back championships. LeBron James will get his fifth ring. Anthony Davis will get his second. And who knows what will happen the next season afterwards. LeBron could potentially tie Michael Jordan with his sixth ring. And boy, would that... I mean... I think the GOAT discussion would end at that point, to be honest. But that's another topic for another day. We can go on and on about that. But yeah, quick thoughts on next season. I see the Lakers coming on top, coming out on top. We'll see how the season goes. I mean, COVID is still out there. Still is. I mean, it's. I don't know who knows when COVID is gonna go away, but I do plan on recording a podcast after every game, whatever news comes out, you know, whatever major thing regarding the Lakers. I do plan on putting out a episode, putting out a recording, discussing these things. Just quick note, you can follow me on Twitter at @young_JD. That is YOUNG_JAYDEEE. You can follow me on Twitter. I am considering making a separate Twitter account for this podcast alone. I will look into that. But yeah, this is your host, Jordan, with another episode of the 824 Purple and Gold Podcast. I am back, well and alive, and I will again forever dedicate this podcast to the late great Kobe Bryant. I thank all of you for listening, and hopefully you will stick with me for the remainder of the Lakers' existence. All right, you guys have a good one. Peace.